Glory to God. Hallelujah. Good morning, family. Praise God. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. And it's good to be in a place where the streams are flowing. Amen. Yes. Glory to God. Thank God for Pastor and Irene and for the wonderful work that God has entrusted onto them. And for the privilege that He has given my wife and I, Suzette and I, to come alongside and to work with them and to, you know, to be fellow laborers for Christ. We do not take it lightly. I'm amazed at the similarities in our upbringing, in our culture, in the kingdom, how God has all, you know, He separated us and He prepared us so that there's a level of compatibility between us that, you know, you don't find just anywhere. So I thank God for that. I thank God for the capacity that He has given Pastor to really, embrace, you know, another ministry and even other ministries so that we can work together for the cause of Christ, that His name can be glorified. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So I want you to give the Lord a clap offering for Pastor and Irene. Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to get right into the Word today. And, we've had a lot going on so far today. Have you been having fun so far today? Praise God. You know, as I was listening to Brother Ed talk about, the situation, you know, it's interesting that I, the Lord asked me a question this week. And the question was simply this: am I only in control when things are going good? Because I was kind of belly aching about something. And he said, am I only in control when things are going your way? Things are going good? And I had to quickly get a hold of myself and recognize that, Lord, in the good times and in the bad times, You are in control. Amen? Glory to God. Whew. Do you have your Bibles with you today? Yes, sir. Glory to God. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The title of the message today is Peace in the Midst of the Storm. Yes. Peace in the midst of the storm. Hallelujah. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, I want you to see this. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now I want to say this. I want you to really take this in. It says, in everything, not for all things. Because if you got cancer in your body, that is not from God. The devil is getting on your case, that is not from God. But the Bible says, in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Without being a prophet of doom, I want you to know today that there is no one is exempt from trial, from tribulation, trials, and tests. You are either just coming out of something or will be going through something at some time in your life. As always, you don't get to pick what you go through, but you certainly get to choose with whom you go through it and the heart attitude you maintain. Can someone say amen? Amen. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. Tell your neighbor, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Listen to what Jesus, the living word, said in John 16:33. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Look at your neighbor and say, peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In other words, in spite of it all, throw a party, get your praise on, lift up a song of thanksgiving to God. Can somebody say glory to God in this house? Listen, I'm not that naive to imply that it's always going to be easy. But this one thing I do know, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen? That's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, if you've been alive for any time on this planet, chances are you have had to endure some level of hardship in your life, but nothing close to what Job went through for 9 months, according to some theologians. Let's take a look at his life for a brief moment. Turn with me to Job chapter 1. Now I know why the Lord gave me this word. Job chapter 1. And I have to read fast because we need to get through chapter 1. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Perfect meaning he was blameless in his generation. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now the sons of God were the angels. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? In fact, he's saying, is Job fearing you for nothing? Hast thou not made an edge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Hast thou blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, which was lightning, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men. And they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. And the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, Job had a very bad day. If you know what I'm saying, say amen. Amen. That was a bad day. If you think you've had a bad day, I want you to reconsider Job's situation. I think no one will be able to touch what Job had to go through in one day. Job was doing great, and I don't have time to go through it all. But here it is, Job has this situation where he has lost everything. And it got so bad that even his wife said to him, are you still going to maintain your integrity? Are you going to still maintain your posture in God? Why don't you just curse God and die? Because if you go to chapter 2, I don't have time to read it, but the sons of God presented themselves again, and Satan showed up. And when Satan showed up, it says in chapter 1 at the end that Job did not sin nor charge God foolishly. He didn't point his finger at God and say, oh God, how could you let this happen to me? And so in chapter 2, the sons of God presented themselves again, and Satan presented himself also. And he said, Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him who escheweth evil. Satan says, well, yeah. He's willing to give up all this stuff for his life. Why don't you touch his life and see what happens? And God says, well, he's in your hands. You can't take his life, but he's in your hands. And Satan left from the presence of God and smote Job with boils. The Bible says that he used a piece of pottery to scratch himself. And he was seated in sackcloth and ashes. And it was a terrible, terrible situation. Now you're talking about somebody who was someone of renown. Someone who, you know, he was well known in his community. He was known as the wealthiest man in the East at that time. And he encountered this situation. And even his very wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? But in all this, Job maintained his integrity. In all this, Job did not point his finger at God and charge him foolishly. Job was doing real good until his friends showed up. His three friends showed up. He was doing real good until his three friends showed up. I want you to know that you must be careful what you allow into your believing place when you're going through. Watch out for those who want to tell you why you're going through what you're going through. Here is just a quick thing on the three friends. Eliphaz. Eliphaz came, and when they first saw Job, the Bible says that they sat down with him for 7 days and said nothing. They just, you know, mourned with him for 7 days. And then after that, I guess they got bored. So now they started to make assumptions. Eliphaz said, he told Job is suffering was because of sin, and that he should repent. That's Job chapter 5 and verse 8. Bildad, his other friends, told Job, it's your reluctance to admit your sin. Why? You are still suffering. And how long are you going to go on like this? That's in Job 8, 2. Then Zophar, he thought Job's sin deserved even more suffering than he was experiencing, and advised him to get rid of his sins. In fact, he's saying that, listen, it could be worse. And then there was an observer. His name was Elihu. This youngster thought God was using suffering to mold and train Job, and advised him to keep silence. And that he says, and I will teach you wisdom. The arrogance of youth. Amen. Since Job 33, for those who are taking notes. You see, the hearts of Job's friends were in the right place, but their heads were a little messed up, which is normally the case with those who want to tell you why you're in the situation you're in. Ever met anyone like that in your walk with the Lord? They're normally fruit inspectors. Yes, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and fruit inspectors, apparently. Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them, but that does not make you a fruit inspector. We are not called to inspect, but to know the fruit in people's lives. Believe it or not, fruit inspector is a self-appointed judge of others whose mind is the playground of the accuser of the brethren. They are normally very cynical folks, always distrusting of virtue in others. Today they like you, tomorrow they may not. I'll say no more on that. Job, in his situation, said some things in his distress that sounded right, that eased his mind, but were not necessarily true. They were truly stated, but not statements of truth consistent with the character and nature of God. And we must know the difference as believers. In Job 1:21, he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How many times have you heard that used at funerals? God did not take anything away from him. Satan did. In Job 3:25, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Now that may be true in one sense, but not in this context. You've got to understand, don't write your book in the valley of the shadow of death. When you're going through something, that's not the time to write your book, your life story. That's what Job was tempted to do here. We know from the text that it had nothing to do with sin in Job's life, but with the permissive will of God as a result of Satan's accusation against Job and God. Now we know the end of Job's test. God rebuked his friends because instead of making it better for Job, they made it worse for Job by making these assumptions about why he was going through what he was going through. And the word of God makes it clearly, explicitly clear. It says, God had to give permission for Satan to touch Job, but God was not the author of what Satan had in his heart to do to Job. And it's important for us to understand that. Now we know the end of Job's test. God rebuked his friends and told them to petition Job to intercede for them. Let's pick it up in chapter 42. I read the first chapter. Now we're going to the end of the book. Unless you want me to work my way down to 42. Anyway, no? Okay. I don't think so. In Job chapter 42, it says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but mine eye seeth thee. But now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Themanite, "My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job." So Eliphaz the Themanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. I love verse 10. "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much," say twice as much, "as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him, they thought. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Kesiah, and the name of the third Kerempthema. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days." Can you say amen? So the end of Job's test was that God gave him double for his trouble. I wonder how many of you are candidates for double for your trouble today. If you are, say glory to God. You might be going through something today, and I want you to know that God is not the author of trouble in your life. Can you say amen? He is not the author of trouble. As I close, let me remind you of the word of God concerning tribulations, trials, and tests in the life of the born-again believer. Write these down if you're taking notes. And I want you to get that. I'm going to remind you of what the word of God says concerning tribulation, trials, and tests in the life of the born-again believer. It's interesting that just before I give you this, that as I read in Job chapter 1, there were some things that were going on in Job's life that even Job did not recognize. The Bible says that Satan knew more about Job's provision that God had made for him than even Job recognized. And how sad that in the kingdom of God, we ourselves find ourselves in a place where we don't recognize that the things that God has made available for us, the power that is within us, the things that God has really prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Do you remember Satan said to Job, to God, does Job serve you for nothing? I want to ask you the question. Do you serve God for nothing? Satan knew that God had put an edge of protection around Job and around his household and around everything that belonged to him. But Job didn't realize that, because Job was then offering up sacrifice out of fear for all his children, that, oh, maybe they have sinned. But I want you to make the connection today. We are born again believers. Job didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. And yet he had all that going for him that he didn't recognize. And that's why knowing your identity in Christ is paramount in these last days. Satan knew more about the good stuff that God was doing for Job than Job knew. But write these down as a born-again believer. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Glory to God. So he's not the author, but it has to go through him. He has to permit it, his permissive will. That's a whole nother study. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, if you're writing this down, verses 2 through 4, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire or complete, wanting nothing. Verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, or the wrong results. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Come on, somebody give the Lord a clap offering in this house. Come on. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, armed with this knowledge, you and I can have peace in the midst of the storm. Can you say amen? Armed with this knowledge, you and I can have peace in the midst of the storm. Now, when you know who you are in Christ, and you know, when you are armed with this knowledge of how to walk and how to overcome and how to accurately process the situations that you face in your life on a day-to-day basis, then God will arrange for you to have unique opportunities to showcase what he's doing in your life. Can you say amen? I shared some time back that, you know, I was working and waiting for God to see the hand of God in the life of someone on my job. And I remember, Dan, you told me, I said, man, I can't wait to hear the end of that. Well, today's the day you hear the end of that. Amen. You thought I'd forgotten, huh? Glory to God. I have this employee of mine who is a faithful employee. It's a person that from the day she started working for me, she set up camp on the extra mile, if you know what I mean. She always went the extra mile. She always did more than she got paid for. And there are situations that have stopped me from being able to really do what I want to do for her. And, you know, and I wrestle with it from time to time. And I said, man, but she didn't leave. She decided to hang in there and stay. Now, I know that she's a devout Catholic. And one day I started talking to her about the Bible, and I said, do you have a Bible? Do you read the Bible? I have a Bible, but I don't read the Bible. And I said, well, you should start reading. Why don't you read Proverbs? And I just encouraged her a little bit because, you know, being her boss, I still have to exercise great wisdom in what I say and how I do things because, you know, you don't want your good to be evil spoken of. Can you say amen? And so she started on that journey a little bit. Then one day I was sitting in my office, and I heard when somebody stormed out of the office door, and I heard just the tailwind of a shout of agony. Gah! And I looked, one of my other employees looked at me and said, what's going on? So I ran out, and I saw her, ready to fall down. And I got concerned. You know, it reminds me of the centurion who had the servant that was sick, and he went to see Jesus. Well, that's the kind of feeling I have for this person because of how faithful she is. And I went out and I said, what's going on? I thought something happened to one of her kids. And she said, oh God, I have cancer. And I went and I held her. And I said, do you believe in Jesus? She said, yes. I said, well, be not afraid, only believe. And I said, come. And I took her in my office. And I sat her down and I said, listen, God is not the author of trouble in your life. I said, he's going to see you through this. And I said, I'm going to pray for you right now. And right there in my office, grabbed her hands. She's sitting on the other side of my desk. I grabbed her hands and I prayed, and I prayed the peace of God over her life. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that the peace of God just came into that room, and her countenance, when I opened my eyes and looked at her, it was a completely different person. Completely different person. And she said, yes. And I said, listen, it shall be well. I said, from this point forward, I said, when you go out, I know. She said, yes, I'll share it with some of my coworkers. I said, when you share it with them, you just say, it shall be well. It shall be well. I got on the phone. I called my wife. I said, honey, I want you to get that healing CD that we have of all healing scriptures. And I want you to have it there because I want to make sure that I get it to her. And she picked herself up and she said, yes. She went out. And to get to where we had to go now, I recognize that as a minister of God, you know, I'm anointed to preach the gospel, but I don't have a medical degree, so I don't tell people what to do when it comes on to sickness in their bodies. You see what I'm saying? That's just not wisdom. Amen. So I said, well, you know, you just let me know what you're going to do, and I'm going to stand in prayer with you. Amen. And she went through her process. She came back, and she reported to me that, you know, the nurses just keep telling me that they've never seen anyone go through this thing the way you're going through it. And they're just saying, you know, oh, you're just something special. And I thought, well, that was nice. But then one of her coworkers, after a few weeks, came to my office and said, Mike, I don't know, but I'm just so amazed at how this person is just going through this. And, you know, I mean, she's just so thankful, and there's just something about her that just lifts my spirit and encourages me. And I didn't make her any wiser. That's not one I can talk to about the things of God. You know what I'm saying? I got to be wise. But there was this, even her, her co-workers noticed that there was something. They've never seen anyone face a trial such as that, because her greatest concern was, she said, I'm young. My kids are young. I don't want to die, she said. I said, don't be afraid. Only believe. And I want you to know, she's coming back to work next Tuesday. And, you know, the Lord saw her through. Her faith is strong. And can you imagine? Now, she's a Catholic. And she had an encounter with God that way. I believe that her life will never be the same. She'll be able to talk about this for years to come. She'll be able to share it with her children because she has seen the hand of God move in her life. You see, sometimes we think that, you know, oh, if it's not a supernatural divine healing, then God is not in it. But that's not where her faith was. Her faith was that she was going to beat this thing. And praise God, he gave me the opportunity. You know, it just overwhelms me when I think about it, how God opened up that door. And now I said to myself, no, I know why God brought her here. It was for that hour where I'd be able to show that the God that we serve, he is a good God. He is the only God. And he watches over his word to perform it in our lives. Amen? Glory to God. Now, to confirm this whole thing, and I'm almost done. Don't worry. You know, I'm not long-winded. Yesterday, we had our men's meeting here. Glory to God. Oh, and Dylan, I'm sorry. I forgot to tell Pastor that you did call me and tell me that you weren't going to be here, okay? All right. Yesterday, we were here, and praise God, you know, Pastor, you know, exhorted us, and, you know, everybody went out of here feeling pretty good. And I got home, and when I got home, I saw my next door neighbor, again, a devout Catholic. I love the Catholics. God must have assigned me to them. I went over and I said, hey, hey, what's going on? And he's like, oh, there's a lot going on right now. I can't even talk about it. I can't even talk about it. Never seen him this distressed. And when he saw the concern on my face, now you have to understand that this is a man who has been nothing but a blessing to me ever since I moved into our community. We've been there over 8 years. I mean, he does things for me. It's, again, just like my employee, he does more than she gets paid to do. But there seems to be a connection here. This man, he has been just a blessing. When I said, what's going on? He has 2 sons, well, 4 sons, but his 2 eldest sons. One is in the hospital on a respirator, and the other one is going through a bad situation that now he's overwhelmed. Now the Lord gave me another unique opportunity. So I allowed him to talk about what he felt and what he did and all the prayers that he said and all the things that he did. And there was just so much compassion that welled up on the inside of me. And when he was finished, I said, in fact, before that, he said, I need your prayers. I need your prayers. You see, you might not have money to give somebody, but I tell you, there's somebody out there that needs your prayer. He said, I need your prayer. And after he talked, I said, okay, we're going to pray now. And he might not have experienced this kind of prayer before. You know how we get radical in here. But I prayed, and I, you know, in fact, before I prayed, I instructed him. And I said, listen, God is not the author of evil in your life. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. I want you to know that this is just an attack on your family. But this too shall pass. Every attack on your life has an expiration date. And I said, let me pray. Right there in his garage. Good Catholic. Put my hands on his shoulder and I prayed. Spoke the word of God. You know, and that, it's important. When you pray, you got to speak forth the word of God. God already knows the problem. You know, he doesn't need you to tell him what the problem is. He just needs you to speak his word over the situation. So I just spoke the word of God over his life. And there the peace came again. And I told him, I said, listen, I prayed his strength in the Lord. I asked the Lord to mount garrison around his heart and his mind. And I could see that he felt strengthened. And I said, Lord, that's what it's all about. Especially in these last days that we're living. All the things that's going on around us. And that's what Pastor has been talking about. That God wants us to be equipped and prepared so that he can send us out there. Because there are many hurting families right there in your community. That's going to need what you have sitting on the pew with. There are many people out there that they just want to hear a word of encouragement. They just need to see the God in you. They just need to know that, listen, there is hope. And I want to encourage you today to really ask the Lord to open up your heart. So that in these next few weeks, as we go through this process and as we prepare you for even those greater works that God has ordained for us to do, that we'll be able to step into that place. Amen? We'll be able to step into that place and to see the hand of God move mightily on our behalf. Now, if you're going through something and you need to express your faith in what you just heard, just jump up on your feet. Jump up on your feet. Just lift your hands towards heaven and just open up your mouth and thank the Lord for his faithfulness unto us. Come on, you can do better than that. You can do better than that. Yes, Lord. Come on, come on, lift it up, open up. Yes, yes, yes. Lift it up, lift it up, lift it up.
Thank you for it, God. Tell us, God, that we seek wisdom, God, come to you and you will give it to us liberally.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we just thank you, God. We thank you that you protect us, oh God. We thank you, God, that nothing escapes your sight, oh God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. That you'll turn everything, God, everything for our good.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on. Come on now. Open up your mouths. Yes, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Naya kebora la rabahaya. Hallelujah. Come on, open up your mouths. Open up your mouths. Open up your mouths. Declare it. Declare it. Declare it. Declare it. Declare it. Declare it. Hallelujah. 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 Nekebo soto kura la raba shete kebo la raba hiero la robo shete kebo la raba hiero la robo shete kebo la raba. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. Naya korodoro boshete keborodara bahaya. Karadara bahiyarodoro boshete keborodara bahaha. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Nako soto kura bababa. Sete keborodara bashete kerodoro bo. Naya kerodoro boshete kerodara basite kibiyosho korodoro bohaha. Ni keborodara basete keborodara basite kibiyosho torobu sete kerodara bahaha. Naya kosoto kura baba basite kibora darabaha. I want you to know today that you're stronger than you feel. You are stronger than you feel because greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. So open up your mouth and declare your victory. Thank God. that your test, your tribulation has an expiration date.
Yes, God.
And that at the end of your test, you shall have double for your trouble. God shall restore everything that the enemy has stolen.
Yes.
Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. 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 Oh, we give you, we give you, we give you, we give you the prevalence, Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. Sata kura baba ba te ke bora la ba shete ke bora la ba he he ro ro bo sete ke bora la ba. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Glory to God. Neke bora la ba sete ke bi osho kura baba ba sete ke bora la ba sete ke bora la ba. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, ke bora la ba sete ke bora la ba he ro ro bo sete ke la ba. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. Now, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word that has gone forth today. We thank you, Lord God, that we have stilled the avenger. We thank you, Lord God, that we have closed the door to the enemy. That when your people who are called by your name, when your people, O Lord God, who are walking by faith every day, who are serving you with a whole heart, when your people go through tribulations, trials, and tests. No longer can the enemy try to bring condemnation. No longer can the enemy try to bring them to question whether they have done something wrong. I thank you, Lord God, that their eyes are now fixed on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of their faith. Father, I thank you, O Lord God, that they will now press through, knowing, O Lord God, that because you are with us, because you are for us, because you are in us, there is no weapon that is formed against us that can prosper. Father, we thank you and we praise you that we have the victory in the name of Jesus. So Father, we don't know what we're going to face tomorrow. Yes, Lord. We do not know what we will face tomorrow, but we know who holds tomorrow. Time is in your hands, O God. You are the one who has established the boundaries of our influence. Our times are in your hands. And so, God, we just rest in you, knowing, O Lord God, that your plans for us are for good, never for evil, to give us a hope and a future or an expected end. So we thank you and we praise you for your good hand upon our lives. We declare that you are good all the time. And we thank you, O Lord God, that because that is now the testimony of our mouths, we shall see victory upon victory as you bruise the enemy under a field, under a heel yet again. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Give the Lord a shout of praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I'll now turn it back over to Pastor.